Hello and welcome to the Bingeables Podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chin Lin
and Steve.
Steve?
Oh, yeah, no, sorry, my name's Isaac. Hello.
Steve is his favorite placeholder name. Whatever it, he, she is that he's referencing and he doesn't know their name, he'll just put Steve as a placeholder.
Yeah, I'll name anything Steve.
One time we played Munchkin, the board game, and it was just the two of us, but you need at least three people. So he came up with a third player named Steve.
Yep. I think Steve won, in fact.
Yeah, I think he did. Okay, it is officially October, my favorite month in the year. I'm a little biased there because I like Halloween and, you know, it's the month of my birth.
Boo, October.
Boo, November.
November's awesome. It's got Thanksgiving.
Well, actually, I don't mind November. It's actually chillier in November. But it's finally fall, and spooky season has begun. Last October, we covered two shows that happened to feature vampires, which was not my intention for spooky season. We covered Castlevania and the first season of What We Do in the Shadows.
Hold on. That was not your intention?
It wasn't. I just wanted something like supernatural-y.
Oh,
that
okay,
we both
okay.
liked.
Them both being vampire shows wasn't your intention. Okay, but yeah. You were looking for something that was more Halloween themed.
Sort of.
Okay, because I thought that was your intention when you picked the shows. So.
Well, I don't remember that being my intention. Because I know you don't like vampire shows. But these two shows were like supernatural themed-ish.
Well, so it's weird. You know,
you liked it, so we covered it.
Just thinking about this last night, I think. That I don't like contemporary supernatural shows for the most part, and that's a broad generalization, right? Because I liked What We Do in the Shadows, but I guess I'm thinking about, I don't know, things like Charmed and
The Vampire Diaries.
Sure, I don't even remember that one. That must be how bad it was.
Well, you never watched it because it was on the CW, and you don't like shows on the CW.
Oh yeah, they definitely have a writing quality problem over on the CW. So,
anyways, this year we have decided we're doing something a little different. We're gonna keep it lighthearted. I know a lot of our fellow podcasters in our community like to focus on like spooky themed TV shows and movies, horror genre stuff. We're gonna skip that this year. But before I get into today's episode, Isaac, what have you been binging on?
That's a good question. So I've been serially watching Star Trek Lower Decks because it comes out every week. And so I can't binge it. I have to just watch once a week.
I'm waiting to binge Star Trek Lower Decks because I watched the first two episodes, I think. And then you watched the third without me. And I decided, you know what? I'll just wait till it's all done.
Yeah. And I've just been watching all the other episodes without her. It's been pretty awesome.
Excuse me.
But next week is the season finale, so you should be able to see all of it. I've also been watching a little bit of The Chappelle Show, because I found that on CBS All Access. I still like it. It's really good.
Well, I'm glad you found another show to watch on CBS All Access, because you literally only got that subscription for Picard.
Yeah, and you know, we found other things to watch on it, like Star Trek Lower Decks.
Oh, right. That's also on CBS All Access. Okay. I'm glad you're finding things that you enjoy that subscription.
Well, so with that subscription, unlike, say, the Peacock, you also get to watch CBS live. So you can pick your local channel and watch it. So unfortunately, my football team is not an AFL team, but AFC team. All the AFC teams If I wanted to watch them, I could watch them on CBS for the NFL. But, yeah, Dallas is a NFC team, and they're on Fox most of the time. So, oh, well. Anyway, so CBS All Access has things I want. In fact, because it's owned by Viacom, they not only have just CBS stuff, but also MTV, Comedy Central, something else.
Oh, wait, Hulu Max also has some Comedy Central shows.
Yeah, so I think that's all has to do with the agreement to create Hulu. When Hulu was created, they got the major networks together, NBC, Fox, ABC, mm-hmm. CBS. CBS obviously owned by Viacom, and they all entered into an agreement to do some sort of revenue sharing. I'm guessing that that agreement has kind of fallen by the wayside because everyone is starting up their own. So ABC, which is owned by Disney, started Disney Plus. So I think as contracts for individual shows are expiring, they're going to go to their respective network things. The only one that doesn't have one so far is Fox. So they may have been the big push behind Hulu. And so the other three are kind of branching out. CBS All Access, obviously, Disney Plus, and Peacock. So,
which is NBC.
Yeah, which is NBC. And Disney Plus does not give you live TV access, as far as I know, to any ABC affiliates. And the Peacock does not give you live access to NBC affiliates. Hulu does give you live TV, but it's $60 a month.
It's an extra package.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, that's a conversation for another time, because I knew Peacock was coming out, because I keep seeing ads for it, and I think Charmed has just left Netflix, the original Charmed, and I believe they're going to Peacock.
It's interesting that, it's probably that Universal owns that content, and it was, created by Universal, and then aired on the CW, because NBC didn't want to pick it up. And that's probably how it's going to end up on the Peacock, I assume. For that same reason, I bet if they all split off, I bet House MD would end up on Peacock instead of Fox, because I'm pretty sure that was produced by Universal and just aired on Fox.
This is all very interesting stuff. So what have I been binging on recently? Aside from finishing Star Trek The Next Generation.
Woo! Woo! I mean, I really enjoyed watching that. I'm glad we got all the way to the end. I feel like that's like, it's the best series finale that exists. Hands down. It's just so good.
Once I got to season 7, I was trying to slow down my binge because I didn't want it to end so fast. And I tried to watch the first episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine the past 2 days. It's a longer pilot. I tried to watch it the past 2 days, and I couldn't, and I stopped. Which kind of makes me sad, because the quality isn't that great, and the plot visual was quality. The visual quality wasn't that great. The plot was a little slow for me, even though the opening scene was really good.
Well, so they're, I've noticed they're trying to pack in a lot of exposition in this first thing, and I mean, you remember the first episode of The Next Generation. It was
was bad.
Yeah,
so I think with Deep Space Nine, I'll do some research, but I think it's another thing where I'll need to jump in somewhere in the middle and then enjoy it from there.
Yeah.
I like the universe of Star Trek.
Right.
I'm not opposed to watching Deep Space Nine, but the pilot isn't, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, they're trying to set up so many things in that first episode that I can see why you feel like it's slow.
And then I've also binged all 3 seasons. I believe there's going to be a 4th. I've binged 3 seasons of Young Sheldon on HBO Max. It's because I recently finished all of, I guess it hasn't been that recent. It's probably been like a month or a month and a half. I finished The Big Bang Theory, so I am able to watch Young Sheldon. There's lots of, it's not a whole lot, but they sprinkle it throughout the show. They always, like, foreshadow and hint at something that we know happened in The Big Bang Theory. But yeah, I recommend Young Sheldon if anyone has enjoyed most of Big Bang Theory and want to see how Dr. Sheldon Cooper was as a child in East Texas.
Oh, I should say, and we're not going to get a paid plug for this, but I've actually been listening to a lot of audiobooks, like a ridiculous amount.
Yeah, but you always listen to audiobooks.
Yeah, I mean, you guys really should join Audible. It's really awesome because you can listen to so many audiobooks. I've been listening to some series about magic. You know what? I'm not even going to go into it. I wanted to mention Audible again. It's just awesome.
Okay, I'll include our Audible 30-day free trial link in the description then.
Okay. Okay, and so what we're really here to talk about today is a show called Raising Hope.
This is not to be confused with a medical show called Saving Hope.
I actually did not know that existed, but I'm not surprised. Is it like a daytime soap opera or?
No, Saving Hope was a medical drama. I think it lasted for like 5 seasons. I tried to watch it, and then at some point I got tired of it. But we're here to talk about Raising Hope, which is a family comedy that was on Fox Broadcasting, and it ran from 2010 to 2014. And honestly, I can't believe it's been 10 years since 2010, because somehow part of me still felt like it was just yesterday when it was 2010.
Yeah, yesterday and like half a century ago. Like, it's crazy.
I didn't watch it in 2010, but I think I watched it in 2014, 2015, as soon as I started paying for Hulu. And honestly, it was a blast in the past for me, at least. And, well, I just mentioned it is currently streaming on Hulu still. Yeah.
Okay, and this is going to be our spoiler preview. Oh, spoiler-free preview episode where we've finished watching the show and we'll give you an overview of the show and explain why we think geeks should watch it, or, you know, just people. You don't have to be a geek to watch it, but this is what the show's about. Go on.
Raising Hope is not a traditionally geeky show, and I'd say the last time we covered something I wouldn't necessarily deem geeky was, I think, The Good Place or Parks and Recreation. Like, those two shows were excellent, but they were a little more mainstream and catered to many different tastes.
Yeah.
Raising Hope, I would not label it a show for geeks. However, I think if geeks are interested in family comedies, this is one to try out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so you introduced me to this show, and while I'm normally quite dubious of your TV taste, this show has turned out to be incredibly good. It's very funny, and I would certainly recommend that anyone watch the show.
The official synopsis for Raising Hope is Jimmy becomes a single parent to an infant after the mother he had a one-night stand with ends up on death row. This is pretty much the synopsis for the pilot, but domino. It's the first domino that falls and leads all of the other dominoes falling. Like, you can't have this show without this single most important event.
Right. The show is created by Greg Garcia, who's also known for My Name is Earl, which is another sitcom about a man who learns to believe in karma and vows to make amends with people he's wronged. And then you get to see a bunch of cameos from the cast of that show in Raising Hope.
So if you remember watching My Name is Earl on NBC from 2005 to 2009, if you enjoy that show, you're definitely going to enjoy Raising Hope. And I'll get a little more into that when we get towards the end of the episode with my reasons for choosing this show. But for now, we are going to dig into the cast of Raising Hope. First off, we have Jimmy Chance, who is played by Lucas Neff. Jimmy Chance is our main protagonist. He's the guy who knocks up the woman who is a serial killer and ends up on death row. Lucas Neff, he's not a huge name in television, I'll admit that, but like I've watched him in two other shows, and I think he's a delight in both in the two other shows I'm about to mention. He was on Carol's Second Act on CBS. So if you enjoyed, oh, what was her name?
I don't remember, but I probably should.
Everybody Loves Raymond. Oh, Patricia Heaton. If you enjoyed Patricia Heaton in Everybody Loves Raymond, she plays the titular character in Carol's Second Act. So Lucas Neff is one of the other doctors on Carol's Second Act. And I don't remember his character, to be honest, because it's just another sitcom that I enjoyed and don't really have a reason to rewatch. But he was in that. And he was also in ABC's comedy Downward Dog, which unfortunately only lasted one season. It's a really sweet show. It's about a dog and his owner. So the dog has a narrator. So you get shit happens, and you get the point of view of the dog via the narrator, and then you get the point of view of his owner, the woman and people in his life.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, in fact, you're gonna like this. The guy who plays Richard in Gallivant.
Okay, yeah.
Hashtag throwback. We covered Gallivant sometime last year in 2019. The guy who plays King Richard, he's also in Downward Dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know if Hulu still has it, but if it does, I'll try to find it for you. And Lucas Neff has also voiced in The Big Hero 6, the series. And honestly, I had no idea they had a series after the movie.
It's something I vaguely remember reading, but I don't remember anything else about it.
Yeah, because we didn't have any interest in seeing Big Hero 6, the series. It's probably aimed for kids.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
You know what? The internet will tell us if we're wrong.
Next up, we have Martha Plimpton as Virginia Chance, Jimmy Chance's mother. If anybody saw that 80s movie, The Goonies, she was in that. And I know The Goonies is kind of like a cult classic for some people.
Martha, people my age.
People your age.
Actually, people slightly older than me, in fact. I'm a little young for The Goonies.
So Martha Plimpton was in the Goonies movie way back in the 80s. And most recently, she was on another family comedy called The Real O'Neills on ABC. Did you ever watch The Real O'Neills? Do you want me to explain it?
I have no idea what it is.
It's about a family who is... okay, it's about a Christian family who the parents get divorced and their kids are in high school, and the main kid of the show, he has just come out as gay.
Oh, okay.
So Martha Plimpton in The Real O'Neills, she plays a Christian mother who is dealing with her son coming out as gay. So, I actually recommend it. It's just something nice to play in the background.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so she was in that show. I think Martha Plimpton does a really good job portraying Virginia in Raising Hope. She actually won an award for her performance in Raising Hope. She won the Satellite Award in 2011 for Best Actress in a Comedy Series, which I, you know, kudos to Martha because I think she did a great job.
Yeah. Playing opposite Martha is Garrett Dillahunt. He plays Bert Chance, who's the grandfather in the show. And that's Virginia Chance's husband, Jimmy Chance's father. He has also been in Fear the Walking Dead and The Mindy Project, two shows which I have not seen.
You haven't seen a lot of shows.
Yeah, look, I don't watch TV.
So I haven't watched Fear the Walking Dead because I'm not really into zombie stuff. So obviously, I haven't watched The Walking Dead, even though I have some friends who want me to watch it because it's good. But I think at this point, it's been going on for like 8 seasons. And so it's getting a little, I feel like it's dragging on. But I have watched most of The Mindy Project starring Mindy Kaling. And I haven't seen Garrett Dillahunt in The Mindy Project, but I'm sure he's funny in it because that's a cute comedy about an Indian American woman who is a doctor. So it's like about her and her relationships. In that show, it was on Fox, and then Fox canceled it, and then it got picked up by Hulu.
Okay.
So yeah, Garrett Dillahunt, he's pretty handsome, I'm gonna say that.
I think it depends on his hair. There are definitely episodes where I'm like, man, that guy looks like he is old and haggard, and then, oddly enough, if he just grows out his hair a little bit on the top, and then I'm like, oh, no, he's young and spry looking again. What happened? It's weird. You'll see it in the show. Like, he looks kind, I don't know, I think it's season 2 where he's probably cut his hair short. That I'm like, man, he's starting to show some age. And then, like, in season 3, season 4, it's like, oh, no, he's looking good again. So it's weird. And then finally, we have the love interest in the show. Shannon Woodward plays Sabrina, who Jimmy Chance runs into after he's taken care of his daughter.
Well, the first day he takes care of his daughter.
Yeah. And so you may have also seen her in Westworld, which is actually the first place I saw Shannon Woodward was in Westworld. I did not see her in Raising Hope until after I'd seen the first season of Westworld. And then we've got Cloris. I'm sorry, I'm taking your person. You know what? I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. Cloris Leachman plays Mama, who is Virginia Chance's grandmother, which means that she's Hope's great great grandmother.
So many generations in one house.
Yeah,
y'all.
They're all having sex at like 18 and popping out a baby. Actually, in some cases, 16 or 15 and popping out a baby. That is the only way that you're going to be able to have a great-great-grandchild and still be around.
In Virginia's case, she was 15.
Right. And I guess her mom...
was like 20?
Or 18. 18 or 20. Something. Yeah.
Something like that. Still young.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Anyway. Cloris Leachman has also been in American Gods, which is an adaptation of Neil Gaiman's book of the same name. And she also voice roles in Justice League Action and Phineas and Ferb. I feel like she's probably been in like 100 other things.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm not... Obviously, I can't list all of someone's filmography.
Yeah.
I picked two that I feel geeks may be able to, you know, recognize.
Okay.
Like, I've heard of Phineas and Ferb, even though I haven't seen it. And obviously, Justice League Action is DC related.
Okay, because I was like, I'm sure she's famous for other things besides this. All right, that makes sense then. Okay. Yeah.
I also want to watch American Gods. I've only watched a little bit of the first episode.
So I actually started listening to this book.
American Gods?
Yeah.
Okay.
It did not captivate me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully Neil Gaiman never listens to this.
I don't. Yeah, right? Because I apparently have not been a huge fan. I mean, I was okay with Bad Omens, the book. It was all right. It was definitely better than the show, for sure. But yeah, I was not captivated by American Gods. I thought it was okay to start, and then I just kind of let it go, and I never went back to it.
All right. Kay Micucci stars as Shelly, Sabrina's cousin. Shelly is a caretaker, so she runs a daycare out of her house, and she takes care of babies, old people, and dogs. The perfect combination of a daycare, am I right?
I mean, I guess. <They're>
It makes for good comedy.
Yeah, I was like, they're all something that people are like, I can't deal with this. I have to go work, so I need to have someone else take care of it.
Yeah, I'll just drop off my 75-year-old mother, my 2-3-month-old child, and my beloved pit bull.
I mean, here's the thing. I see how you like would think that this would work, but they all require like very different skill sets. And techniques. I'm amazed she's able to keep it together.
In the show, she's just entertaining them. So she's not, I don't think she's really taking care of them. She's just playing on her ukulele.
I mean, that's all you really need to do is make sure that they don't hurt themselves and that they're in a reasonably good condition when their, you know, caretakers arrive. So, you know, I think that's good enough.
And make sure the dog doesn't hump the lamp, because the lamp's going to break.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's on you. That's how you like your lamps.
You don't remember that from the show?
Vaguely.
Okay. Obviously, I like this show more than Isaac.
Well, you've seen it more than I have, too.
That's true. This is another comfort show for me. So, Kate Micucci was in... She played Lucy on The Big Bang Theory, and if you've watched The Big Bang Theory, especially the later seasons, Lucy was Raj's love interest for a few episodes. And Kate has also voiced in Steven Universe, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Be Cool Scooby-Doo. She's done other stuff, but I'm listing ones that I think people will...
And this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles must not be the one that I watched.
No, it's the more recent one in the 2010s.
You know, I'm curious about that one, because if you go back and watch the one from the 90s, which I do not recommend you do, it is terrible. Just god-awful.
Well, because it's tailored to kids.
And I loved that show as a kid, so I want to know, like, if anyone has watched the more recent version, if it is... you know, better and not just absolutely terrible.
And lastly, we have...
Greg Binkley. He plays Barney, who is the manager at the grocery store that Sabrina works at. He was Kenny on My Name is Earl.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Like, I mean, he's been in other stuff, but I didn't think it was, like, worthwhile to mention.
he's kind of like Jimmy Stewart in his voice. And they make fun of that, in fact, in the episode that I just watched. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Obviously, Greg Binkley was in My Name is Earl, so creator Greg Garcia decided to bring him on for Raising Hope. I don't know what decisions went into that, because all of the other main cast were just cameos on Raising Hope. But I think he's good as Barney. He's got the like anxiety stuff, anxiety mannerisms down. So, why have we chosen Raising Hope to binge and talk about? I think this show is pretty, for a sitcom that could kind of just exist and later not ever be talked about, I think Raising Hope is pretty smart. The dialogue is well written. I don't think the humor relies heavily on jokes. I think a lot of sitcoms have that. They kind of rely on heavy jokes, like sexual innuendo jokes and...
set up and punchline, I guess? Or
set up and punchline.
Okay.
Obviously, there's still that in Raising Hope, but it's not like you're getting that every 5 minutes.
No, most of the comedy in the show revolves around...
the situations.
Or just poor people misunderstanding how the world works.
Yes, exactly. It's a very... Raising Hope is about a very delightful but dysfunctional poor family.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I say poor, I mean they live in a house that is Mama's, so it's paid off, but Mama is entering that stage where she's not necessarily, like, lucid.
All the time.
And Virginia and Bert kind of just mooch off of her because they don't know how to adult. And, you know, it's understandable. It's hard to be an adult. And Jimmy, who is 23 in season one, like, he doesn't know how to adult either. Like, he didn't graduate. Did he graduate high school?
God, is he 23 in the series premiere?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
I think so.
Okay. I thought he was a little younger, but okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. There are lots of elements of family sarcasm that is kind of reminiscent of Modern Family. And then you also combine that with hilarious situations that you might see in How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
It's a feel-good show. It's got a lot of... it's got a heart of gold. I think it's a genuine show that's true to itself. It doesn't try too hard. And occasionally you'll get some good fourth wall breaks. And last but not least, for the geeks who are wondering, why am I listening to this episode, if not just to listen to our voices? Raising Hope is a good show for world building, which is generally a term equated to sci-fi and fantasy works of media. But I think Raising Hope as a show has good world building in that if you, obviously, you'll appreciate the show more if you've watched My Name is Earl. The funny thing is, I watched Raising Hope first, and then I went back to watch My Name is Earl. So I didn't appreciate Raising Hope as much until after My Name is Earl. And, you know, like, Greg Garcia has created this, like, community called Natesville. Everybody, most people know each other. It's like a cute small town. A little similar to Stars Hollow for people who have watched Gilmore Girls. Small town, most people know each other. There's lots of Easter eggs, and you gotta, like, if you have seen My Name is Earl, you'll be able to pick up those Easter eggs in Raising Hope. And everything just continues to build on each other. So it's not super episodic.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of episodic. There are certain episodes that
are episodic, but I'm not saying every episode
I feel like there are certain episodes that you need for the story, for a storyline, but I feel like most of the time they are fairly episodic. Like, once you have the setup, especially in seasons one and two, like, you could mix and match a bunch of those episodes, and I don't think it would change story flow.
Okay, all right, I'll give you that. There's some episodes later that will call back to a previous event.
Right.
Okay. Right. That's what I meant. Do you have reasons for why you like this show? Why you would recommend it?
Okay. I was like, sure. The show is pretty funny. Most of the comedy is derived through misunderstanding, not necessarily miscommunication, which I really like. And same thing for the plot. Plot lines are not normally like just because two people won't talk to each other. It's, you know, there's typically some misunderstanding about how the world works or what you need to do to accomplish your goal. I feel like it's a good show because you can just watch it, and it's definitely from a different time when the world was not, you know, on fire. So it feels good. Like
even when the world wasn't on fire?
Yeah.
You mean like when we've always had to deal with like social issues and there's always been inequality. That's not really shown here, but it was, okay, 2010, people had smartphones, but most people hadn't yet.
Let's see, by 2010, I mean, I know I didn't have a smartphone, but...
Yeah, I didn't either.
I feel like I was probably in the minority, but maybe not in 2010, maybe by 2011 or 12, I would have been in the minority, but they were...
The chances in this show are still using flip phones. Yeah. But it's synonymous, not synonymous, it's in character with their family, because, you know, they're middle lower class?
No, they're just poor.
They're just poor?
Yeah. Like there's no getting around this. They're just poor. They're not middle class.
No, I meant like middle lower class. Cuz they're not homeless.
They're not homeless, but I mean
And like obviously they can pay some of the bills.
I was like that's the thing. They're not homeless, but only just. Like they are on the edge, and you know that's so
that'll be getting into spoiler territory.
Well, no, I want to talk about this sort of theme in general. Because it happens a lot. So, especially in shows where time has to exist, so live action shows, keeping a family and their socioeconomic class for the entire show just normally doesn't happen. And you can think about, like, where I really realized this was in the show Friends, where, you know, by the end of the show, they've all got amazing jobs and are making, theoretically, like, just ridiculously good money. That sort of progression happens in every show. And if the comedy of your show or if the themes of your show run for a certain socioeconomic class, then it becomes difficult to keep that going forever. And I think that's part of what happened with Raising Hope and how we only ended up with four episodes.
Four seasons.
Yeah, sorry, four seasons. You can see that the opposite way to go is with something like Bob's Burgers, where one, time never has to march forward, so the kids never have to grow up or anything like that. But then you run into this issue of things that are interesting are normally ways to make more money, because you like to see people succeed. But if you're going to keep the characters where they're at, you always have to have them fail. And then the reasons for that failure have to be, you know, more and more ridiculous eventually to keep them in that spot. So, you know, I think shows then start to fail for that reason. I don't know, fail is probably a strong word, but they'll lose my interest for sure. There are definitely times when I watch Bob's Burgers and I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to dangle success in front of Bob again and then rip it away from him for some stupid reason. I think I like the former better. People's lives change. Now, the fact that, you know, on TV they're always changing for the better isn't necessarily the best reflection of American society, but I like it better than, like, always forcing someone back to where they were. I don't know if you could have a show, at least a comedy, where people never progressed. I feel like The Wire probably does that the best, where they show, like, the sort of different outcomes that happen in America.
Okay. We are going to end with a few fun facts about Raising Hope. I think this is fun. These are all pulled from the Raising Hope IMDb trivia page. And I just picked, you know, obviously the spoiler-free ones. So first fun fact, in every episode, there is at least one word that is mispronounced.
They're going to conjugate the marriage.
Ha! Oh, man. And, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a hard word or a long word. It can just be a word that someone on the show just always mispronounces. You have to watch it. Second, we already mentioned this, but every lead cast member of My Name is Earl has appeared at least once on Raising Hope. Third, Natesville, the town that they live in Raising Hope, is named after the showrunner's son, Nathan. Fourth, Hope, the baby Hope, that the titular baby character, her prison number, and this is in the pilot, her prison number is 46664, which is the same as Nelson Mandela's prison number.
I had no idea.
Yeah, no, me either. I literally just pulled this from the internet. And then I thought this was funny. The building blocks in the opening credits spell out help. So Hope is crying for help because her parents and grandparents can barely adult.
Very barely.
Very barely. Alrighty. That is it for our spoiler-free preview of Raising Hope. Until next time, listeners.
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/bingeablespod.
You can connect with us on Twitter at BingeablesPod, or you can email us at BingeablesPod@gmail.com.
Until next time.
The Bingeables Podcast is produced by patron Raymond G.
And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin.